All right, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Sunday gathering. I noticed Deb asked, who is preacher du jour, right? The minister of the day. And today that would be me. Next week, it will be Dove again. And during the month of November, it's going to be a little different. During the month of November, I will be away in India. And so you're going to see some of our new licensed ministers showing up during the month of November. Phil will be here. Also, Lynn Johnson, who will be a licensed minister by then, will be the preacher du jour one day. And Jay McCormick, who will also be a licensed minister by then, will be the preacher du jour, as Deb says. So you're going to see a little bit of variety coming up in November while I'm away. We do have a new policy regarding both ordained and licensed ministers. And one of the things that policy says is that a licensed minister who has been partway through the minister ordination program, a licensed minister can be like a substitute minister at the gathering when a minister is not available. And so since I'm away, we'll have a couple of substitute ministers. So that'll be lots of fun for you. And then I'll listen to those when I get back from India. It's great to see everyone in the room this morning. And what we get to do now is we get to all join in appreciation of one another by saying hello to one another. Let me start the music. All right, and let's say hello to one another.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic. Awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Thank you for taking a little bit of time to say hello. And yes, some of you may have seen that today I'll be working with my boyfriend to mend the back fence because my dog's boyfriend has broken it. He has broken into a couple of different places. The fence is a little bit old anyway, and what he has learned is that if he pushes hard enough, he can just break the boards, and he's created a little hole for himself so he can... He can come in and see her whenever he wants. So, right now, instead of, you know, going through the time and the expense to get a new fence, which will eventually have to happen probably by spring at the latest, we're going to try mending the one that's there. So that's my plan for the day. Yeah, he, my dog's boyfriend, they are madly in love. In fact, this romance has been going on for about 3 years. And, you know, you even say his name and she starts looking around and kind of whining, because if you mention his name, she's excited to see him. So yeah, it's true puppy love, true puppy love. Well, I'd like to share a statement of purpose right now, the purpose of Awakening Together. Actually, today what I want to talk about is our mission statement. You all have heard us share our purpose and our core values. Even prior to our purpose and our core values, we have a mission statement. That mission statement actually comes from the foundation for the Holy Spirit, because really Awakening Together is born out of the foundation for the Holy Spirit. So Awakening Together has the same mission as Foundation for the Holy Spirit. So let me share the foundation's mission with you. Foundation for the Holy Spirit is committed to helping individuals become self-reliant with inner spiritual wisdom by providing a ministry which consists of spiritual teaching, counseling, internet programs and worship services, worldwide like-minded fellowship, and other resources and services beneficial to that mission. So that is our mission statement. That is our legal mission statement. It is filed with the state of North Carolina, which is where we are incorporated as an organization. For me, the most important part of the mission statement is this, that we are committed to helping individuals become self-reliant with inner spiritual wisdom. That part right there, self-reliant with inner spiritual wisdom. We are not here to train people to look at outside authority as authority. We are not here to teach people that a particular scripture is the truth. We are here to continually point people inwardly to their own true spiritual wisdom and help people realize the difference between their spiritual wisdom and the voice of ignorance, and to learn to live in harmony with their inner spiritual wisdom. So that is our mission, and therefore that is what our purpose and our core values also stem from. A couple of announcements. One thing I want to talk a little bit about, more and more questions are starting to come in, so I want to talk a little bit about it, is our minister preparation program. I expect to begin offering the minister preparation program in February for anyone who is interested. Each class will be limited to 9 people. There are a couple reasons for keeping the class size small. One is so that we can have more opportunity for interaction within the class. It's a very participative, is that the right word? Participative course. And so we need time for everyone to be able to share. And if you get too many people, then that doesn't happen. So it will be limited to 9 per class for that reason. But also we're joining in a private Pal Talk room. And actually, unless you pay a very large sum of money, private Pal Talk rooms are limited to 10 people. So that would be the minister facilitator and then 9 participants. So that's where we came up with the number 9. So it's a strict limit. We won't be able to increase it, you know, at all. But hopefully classes will start in February. That's what's feeling right for me. I wanted to share a little bit with you about what's in the minister preparation program. It actually consists of 2 phases, a phase 1 and a phase 2. Phase 1 is a total of 12 weeks long. Phase 1 has an introductory course, which is only 1 week, 1 2-hour period. That introductory course is just to let everyone know what it means to be an awakening together minister. And yeah, any requirements there may be will be taught in that 1 hour course as well. And one of the primary reasons for offering this is because sometimes people become ministers of a program without fully understanding what it means to be a minister of the program. And so we want to make sure you fully understand what being an Awakening Together minister is before you proceed. So that's the very first class. And in fact, even to fill out the application to get into the minister preparation program, you have to take that introductory course first, and then you have to learn everything that's in it and say, yes, I agree. This is in my heart. I want to do this. And then you can apply. The second part of phase one is an 11-week course called True Discernment. Some of you have been listening to some of the audios in this room that are from the True Discernment course, because Dove is in the course now and Lynn is in the course now. And they, and sometimes I, play the audios from the current week. So I know you've heard some of those audios. Sometimes people are asking, how can I get that audio? I want to hear that audio more. To be honest, the way you get that audio is it's a part of the Minister Preparation Program. So you enter that program, and then you have access to those audios. The True Discernment course is 11 weeks long. At the end of the True Discernment course, there is a test, a multiple choice test. And when you complete that test and pass that test, then you can move on to phase two. Phase two is quite a bit longer. It takes about a year, maybe a little more than a year and a quarter to go through phase two. In phase two, what we do is we look at a lot of different theologies or a lot of different spiritual teachings, but we're not moving away from the True Discernment of phase one. We use the True Discernment in phase one as we look at all of these teachings. And we actually go deeper and deeper into the True Discernment of phase one as we look at a lot of different teachings. So we're not really going in to learn a bunch of different beliefs or a bunch of different theologies. We are going into these different theologies in order to go deeper and deeper into True Discernment, in order to become completely stable in True Discernment, so we're not easily confused or easily thrown off True Discernment by some spiritual belief, which is different than True Discernment. Some of the courses that we're going to be taking in phase two, one course is it's called True Meditation, and it's actually given to us by Adyashanti. We're going to be looking at the Bhagavad Gita, the Tao Te Ching. We'll be looking at an Introduction to Buddhist Teachings by Thich Nhat Hanh. We will look at Jesus of the New Testament through a study of the Book of Mark and the Book of John. We will look at the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament using the Keys to NTI, which includes, let's see, the Book of Luke, Acts, Galatians, and Revelation. We will look at an Introduction to Sufi Thought through a book by Neil Douglas Klotz, Introduction to Kabbalah by Michael Berg. We will look at the teachings of Ramana Maharshi, the teachings of Nisargadatta Maharaj. We will look at an Introduction to A Course in Miracles through a book by John Mundy. We will look at the Course in Miracles Manual for Teachers. We'll look at the teachings of Inna Ramana. And then there'll be a final 2 to 4 weeks about being an Awakening Together minister, teaching people how to lead weddings, funerals, how to do spiritual counseling, that type of thing. And then after that, second phase two, which is much longer, there will also be another test. And then after passing that multiple choice test, there will be an ordination ceremony with an oath. And once someone takes the oath, then you become an Awakening Together minister. So yeah, this is a valid program. This is a valid program. The tests, by the way, are not memorization. So you won't be asked questions like, I can't even think of a good question right now. But you won't be asked memorization type questions. It's all True Discernment. It's really things that are already within. The location of the ordination, I don't understand that question. You mean the ordination ceremony? It will be right here in ACIM Gather. Yeah. Yeah, the ordination ceremony will take place right here. I also saw questions about how long it will, if you take the courses one right after another, you know, just without break, it will take about 18 months to complete the curriculum. However, you have up to 5 years. So if you want breaks and then come back and then another break and then come back, you can do that. So, anywhere from 18 months to 5 years, depending on, you know, your preference and how you want to go through the program. So the overall cost of the program, it looks like, is going to be about $1,500, but you pay for the class just before you take it. It's really $20 per class week is the way it works out. So like if you're about to take the True Meditation class by Adya Shanti, which is a 3-week class, you would pay $60 right then. If you're about to take the Introduction to Sufi Thought, which is a 5-week class, you would pay $100 right then. So even though it's $1,500 total, you pay for the classes as you go. So it's small increments of payments along the way. Let's see. Some people, Karen Ann is asking, some people would be licensed ministers in November. How do you become a licensed minister? In order to be a licensed minister, you have to meet two requirements. One requirement is you have to be on the board of directors or the member board of trustees. And the second requirement is you have to have completed at least phase one of the curriculum. So right now, everybody that's on the board of directors and the member board of trustees, with one or two exceptions, is going through phase one. And their last phase one class is actually going to be October 30. So after that date, the people who are currently in the phase one curriculum, assuming they pass that test, will be licensed ministers. And then they'll be able to lead gatherings. And then an ordained minister is someone who's gone through the entire curriculum, passed both tests, took the oath of ordination. So there'll be more information coming about all of this. In fact, the very first Sunday in November, we'll have our monthly member meeting. I won't be here. I'll be in India, but Jay will lead that meeting for me, and he will go over the new policy about ministers, about how to become a licensed minister, how to be an ordained minister, what it means to be a licensed minister, what it means to be an ordained minister. He'll go over that new approved policy with you guys that night. So you'll learn a lot more that night, including the requirements to be a minister and all of that. So, oh yes, Lynn, thank you very much for that reminder. It's actually not a founding member of Awakening Together. The founding members of Awakening Together are those who have signed the Constitution. But the charter, to be a charter member of Awakening Together, you need to join Awakening Together by October 21st, which is tomorrow. A charter member is someone who joins in the first 3 months. And the advantage to being a charter member is that some of the time requirements that are in our policies that apply for certain positions, you are exempt from if you're a charter member. For example, in order to be voted onto the member board of trustees, according to our policy, you need to be a member of Awakening Together in good standing for 2 years. However, if you're a charter member, that is not true. If you are a charter member, there is no time requirement. So if you're a charter member, even though you haven't been with the Awakening Together for 2 years, you can become a trustee on the member board of trustees. And in fact, we are scheduled to hold our first election in July of this year. So that means you could be nominated, or you can nominate yourself, and then you can be voted onto the board of trustees. But in order to be available for that, you need to be a charter member. So that means if you aren't yet a member, you want to become a member by tomorrow, by October 21st, because at that point, that list of charter members is frozen. And then anyone else who joins after that will have to be a member for 2 years before they can come onto the board of trustees. So thank you for reminding me about the charter member date. Boy, October 1st, 21st sneaks up on us sometimes. I also have two more announcements I want to make. Let me get a drink of water first. One announcement is that Jay McCormick was between jobs this week. He left one job and is starting a new job. This week he was between jobs. And while he was between jobs, one of the things that he did was he focused on the Awakening Together website and made some changes. You know, when we designed the website, we designed it based on a fantasy. But then the reality isn't always the fantasy. The fantasy, you know, is a projection into the future. And, of course, what actually happens comes from moment-to-moment guidance. It has nothing to do with what you imagined by the future, about the future. So what Awakening Together has turned into, and the way Awakening Together is used and the way the website is used, is not exactly the way we imagined it. So what Jay has done is he has gone and updated the website to be a much better fit with what Awakening Together is right now. And Lynn is giving you the link to the website, awakening-together.org. When you get a chance, if you go and look at that, you'll notice some things have been moved around and changed. One thing that's really interesting is that we have a whole new menu item called Sanctuary. And when you click on the Sanctuary, it has all of the information about this room that we're in now, including our etiquette, including our schedule, including all of the presenters, our admin schedule, how to become a presenter, how to become an admin. One menu that is gone is the teachings menu, but everything that was on the teachings menu is now under the inspiration menu. So if you look under the inspiration menu, you'll find the daily quote, the featured talks, the archived gatherings, along with free ebooks, the Awakening Together blog, member blogs, and related links. Another thing that has been added to the menu that wasn't right up on the menu bar before is events. If you click on events, you'll see the current events that are scheduled. One is the pilgrimage to India, which leaves in less than 2 weeks now. The other one is the Costa Rica week-long retreat. But this week I will be announcing at least one other event, and it will be posted there. And by next week, three total new events. So this menu is going to grow a lot before I leave for India. It's going to grow by three more events. So you'll want to come here and check this events menu. Also, if you look at our quick links menu, we've changed what's on the quick links a little bit. One of the things that we've added to the quick links is subscribe to daily updates. If you aren't subscribed to our daily updates, that's the best way to get information right away. One thing you receive through our daily updates is the daily quote, but also as soon as I post a new retreat or pilgrimage, you'll get it in the daily updates. If there's a new policy that I want to announce, you'll get it in the daily updates. If there's some program that's being offered anywhere, it could be offered by Adyashanti, Deepak Chopra, anywhere that is either free or low cost that I think may be of interest to you, it will be showing up in the daily updates. If a member article is posted on our Awakening Together blog, that article will also show up in our daily updates. So just everything that you might want to be informed about will show up in that daily update. So that's a great list to subscribe to. You're not automatically subscribed to it when you become a member. So it is a separate step that you need to take. You also notice that the daily quote is now available with one click on the quick links menu, as well as the opportunity to become a member or to read our current news, the most recent post that I've made regarding things that are happening with Awakening Together. So when you get a chance, go have a look at the website. It was fully updated this week, and yeah, it is very nice. So thank you, Jay, for doing that. So that concludes the announcements for today. What I want to do now is open up with a wonderful song. This song is by Amy Grant and Carol King, and it's a song about time. It's called Our Time Is Now, and if you listen to the song, you'll hear how they talk about time is an illusion. It's a lovely song. So here we go. As soon as I get to it, hold on. Let's see. Is that it? Nope. Go again. Here we go. Nope, that's not it either. Here we go. Our Time Is Now by Amy Grant and Carol King.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
January, February, March. The days are marching forward.
can fly like a hummingbird. August, September, October, the year is almost over. November, December, arrived, another year coming dawn. Time is a curse. Time is all these things and worse. But our time is now. Yes, our time is now. Let us sing before our time runs out. Of your laughter, your smile, these things are never changing. But Monday I blink and it's Friday. I wish we could slow it down. Saturday, Sunday, now Monday, another week starting.
Noticed some discussion on the board about signing up for the daily update and being a member. Again, if you're one, it doesn't mean you're the other. And let me just explain the logic behind that, because sometimes when people understand the logic, it's easier for them to process and remember in the brain. Some people may want to be a member of Awakening Together, but not receive a daily update in the email. Therefore, we do not automatically put your name on the daily update when you become a member. You become a member, and then if you also want the email, you sign up for the daily update, two signups. Also, there may be people out there who want the daily update but do not want to be a member. So again, that's the reason for two separate lists. So if you want to join and become a member, if you're not a member already, you can join right from the Quick Links menu on our website or the Join Us menu on the menu bar. And if you want the daily update, you can also join that list also from our Quick Links menu or from the Join Us menu on our menu bar. But it is two separate signups. And if you ever unsubscribe from the daily updates, that does not unsubscribe you from the member list. You remain a member. So probably the best way to unsubscribe from the member list would be to send us an email using our contact form and let us know that you no longer want to be a member. All right. Why don't we go into prayer? So the song we just listened to, Our Time Is Now. This is both obvious and hidden. It's obvious when we pay attention without being lost in thinking. It is hidden when we're in thinking, for thinking is always referring to the past and the future. And even if it appears to be looking at now, it's judging now based on experiences from the pasts or desires about the future. So the mind is a mental distraction from this present moment. And as a result, what happens is we do not appear to really live in the present moment with it as it is. In fact, we can be completely deluded about the present moment and have no idea at all what it is. No idea at all what it is. And in fact, what it is cannot be captured by an idea. So my prayer is that the individual inner guidance of each one of us will help us to see, wake us up to the realization that we are distracted from the present moment. And also, if that is most helpful, give us a practice in the present moment that will move us from the distraction to the current living. And if a practice isn't necessary because we have enough realization within us already, then let the remembrance just wake us up from the distraction and bring us immediately into the current moment. There is no reason to waste experience with distraction. And in fact, when we waste experience with distraction, we also lose the fullness of the joy and the love and the preciousness that is inherent within this moment. It's like tasting a delicious meal without the taste buds present. The meal may still be eaten, but the joy just can't be realized. The taste buds that allow us to enjoy this present moment is our full awareness and attention here without distraction, always here. So teach us from within how to enjoy this meal of this experience of a human life. Amen. And that takes us to our reading. Nancy Sullivan is going to be our reader this morning. She is going to read to us from The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. Nancy, I am turning the mic over to you.
Letting go of psychological time. Learn to use time in the practical aspects of your life. We may call this clock time, but immediately return to present moment awareness when those practical matters have been dealt with. In this way, there will be no buildup of psychological time, which is identification with the past and continuous compulsive projection into the future. Clock time is not just making an appointment or planning a trip. It includes learning from the past so that we don't repeat the same mistakes over and over. Setting goals and working toward them. Predicting the future by means of patterns and laws, physical, mathematical, and so on. Learned from the past and taking appropriate action on the basis of our predictions. But even here, within the sphere of practical living, where we cannot do without reference to past and future, the present moment remains the essential factor. Any lesson from the past becomes relevant and is applied now. Any planning as well as working toward achieving a particular goal, is done now. The enlightened person's main focus of attention is always the now, but they are still peripherally aware of time. In other words, they continue to use clock time, but are free of psychological time. Be alert as you practice this, so that you do not unwittingly transform clock time into psychological time. For example, if you made a mistake in the past and learn from it now, you are using clock time. On the other hand, if you dwell on it mentally and self-criticism, remorse, or guilt comes up, then you are making the mistake into me and mine. You make it part of your sense of self, and it has become psychological time, which is always linked to a false sense of identity. Non-forgiveness necessarily implies a heavy burden of psychological time. If you set yourself a goal and work toward it, you are using clock time. You are aware of where you want to go, but you honor and give your fullest attention to the step that you are taking at this moment. If you then become excessively focused on the goal, perhaps because you are seeking happiness, fulfillment, or a more complete sense of self in it, the now is no longer honored. It becomes reduced to a mere stepping stone to the future, with no intrinsic value. Clock time then turns into psychological time. Your life's journey is no longer an adventure, just an obsessive need to arrive, to attain, to make it. You no longer see or smell the flowers by the wayside either, nor are you aware of the beauty and the miracle of life that unfolds all around you when you are present in the now. I can see the supreme importance of the now, but I cannot quite go along with you when you say that time is a complete illusion. When I say time is an illusion, my intention is not to make a philosophical statement. I am just reminding you of a simple fact, a fact so obvious that you may find it hard to grasp and may even find it meaningless. But once fully realized, it can cut like a sword through all the mind-created layers of complexity and problems. Let me say it again. The present moment is all you ever have. There is never a time when your life is not this moment. Is this not a fact? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nancy. One reason I selected this reading, and the way I sometimes select readings is it's either something that I read in my own personal reading during the week that stood out to me, or I may grab a book off my bookshelf and kind of thumb through it until I see a heavily underlined area, which means it spoke to me at another time. That's kind of how I select the readings. And this was a heavily underlined area as I was thumbing through this book. But the reason it still felt very, very appropriate to me is because when we get on this spiritual path and we begin to study metaphysics, the ego is still intact in the mind for most of us. And so what happens when we study even the metaphysics, the correct teachings, the teachings that point to truth, they become distorted. They become distorted because we don't have the true discernment. I mentioned to you all that in the minister program, we're going to be looking at a lot of different theologies. But I told you first, we're going to take a course on true discernment and even pass a test on true discernment. And then when we go into these other theologies and read them, we're going to read them with true discernment in mind. There's a story about Ramana Maharshi. You know, Ramana Maharshi had a strong awakening experience at age, I believe it was 17. Some say 16, some say 17. But he had almost no spiritual reading. He had read one book up until that time. After his spiritual awakening, he did read many spiritual books. But when he read those spiritual books, his true discernment was already there. So he was able to see through confusion that was written into the books and read directly that which is true. Know immediately the proper interpretation of scriptures, for example. Well, most of us haven't had the awakening experience first. And so when we read a book, even if that book is perfectly well written, we are reading it through the ego filter, which means what we read is not perfect because of it passes through that filter and it becomes distorted. One of the ideas that is distorted is the idea of time or the idea of now. We can experience great confusion. You know, for example, if I am planning a retreat, the India pilgrimage that I'm going on soon. I began to plan that in, I think it was January. And, you know, there was a few things I needed to do. I needed to investigate different organizations that allow us to volunteer in orphanages because that was one of the purposes of the pilgrimage. I needed to interview them and see which ones would be most suited to our purpose. You know, we didn't want to travel with a Christian organization that would be, you know, teaching a certain theology that we're not in alignment with. I also needed to look at prices. Some of them were quite expensive. I wanted to get something that was more moderate. All of this needed to happen before I could announce the India pilgrimage. Well, one of the questions that I received was from someone during this planning process was something about, you know, as you know, A Course in Miracles says a healed mind does not plan. And so when someone asked me, you know, how could I plan an India pilgrimage? Well, I understand the question because I once had the confusion myself. So it's not that I didn't understand the question. But what I also saw was the confusion. I understand the clarity of the statement, a healed mind does not plan. And I also understand that the planning that was happening for the India pilgrimage was not the type of planning that the Course is pointing to in that line. And I love the way Eckhart Tolle talks about it here. He just gives it two different words so that it's less confusing. One he calls clock time, and the other he calls psychological time. But through my own personal experience, let me share with you the difference between clock time and psychological time. First of all, up until the day that I realized I was going to plan an India pilgrimage, I was saying to people when they asked, will you ever go back to India? I was saying, I don't know. In fact, I had a friend who was in India at the time, and she even texted me, literally like the day or two before I realized I was going to go back, and said something about, oh, you should come back to India. And I wrote her, I said, I just don't have any guidance to go back. I said, I loved it there, but I'll be fine if I never go again. And then a couple days later, suddenly, spontaneously, I woke up with this feeling, I'm going back to India. And I also knew it was going to be to do some type of volunteer work. So you can see how, in a way, there was no planning in the idea to go to India. 2 days before, I was saying with complete honesty, I may never go back. I'm okay if I never go back. You know, I loved it there, but it's fine. And then I wake up, I'm going, and this is why I'm going. Right? So there's no planning there. But then when the realization came, I'm going and this is why I'm going, then there was work associated with that goal, as Eckhart Tolle is calling it. But as I went through the work of, you know, talking to the different organizations that we could travel with and looking at the programs and feeling which one felt best to go with, as I'm doing the work, there is no imagining in the mind. This is where the psychological time comes in. There was no imagining in the mind about what it's going to be like working in an orphanage. I leave in less than 2 weeks, and to this day, I do not have a single story about what it's going to be like working in the orphanage. Once upon a time, I would have had a million stories. Once upon a time, I would have had stories about what it was going to be like staying in this house. And now I'm going to have to make up stories because I don't have any, but just to give an illustrative example, I would have had stories about what it was going to be like having a roommate. You know, maybe I would have had stories about, oh, what if I have a roommate that snores, or what if I have a roommate that's up all night while I'm trying to sleep, or what if I can't sleep and I keep my roommate up? I would have had stories about the food, whether the food was going to make me fat or make me or not be enough and I would get too skinny, or whether the food was going to bother my belly, or I would have had stories about the team leader and whether he was judging our purpose for being there, which is watching the mind. I mean, I would have had stories about the children, whether they were going to work with us or treat us like substitutes and throw spitballs at us. I mean, just story after story after story. This is psychological time. And this is the kind of planning that the unhealed mind does. It literally imagines future sense of lack, or it imagines future sense of unworthiness, or it imagines future attack. And then based on its imagined stories, it starts imagining defenses. And some of the people who signed up for this trip early on actually came back and canceled their registration. One person did because she just had a legitimate thing crop up during the same period of time and she can't be out of the country. She has to be here. You know, so that's something that just happened and she had to cancel the trip. But there were others who canceled the trip because of the stories they made up and their imagined situation of what it was going to be like when we got there, and then deciding that they just could not do that, and so they canceled the trip. And the entire thing was imagination. So you see, there is a difference between the planning that happens, this just seems to be a quite practical aspect of this human life, and then that psychological planning, which is really based on the unhealed ideas in our mind, right? It's a further projection of unhealed ideas in our mind. Now, another thing that I ran across just in the last week, so this was even after I gave the reading to Nancy. I'm reading a book by Thich Nhat Hanh right now about Buddhism. And the reason I'm reading this book is in preparation for offering that as a portion of the Minister Preparation Program. And in this particular book, he talks about regret. But he talks about right regret and wrong regret, which is interesting because anybody who has a judgment against the word regret would immediately say there's no such thing as right regret. And he doesn't go into a lot of detail about it, so it'd be very easy to just blow past that sentence and judge him as wrong. But I spent a bit of time contemplating that. I spent a bit of time, what is right regret and what is wrong regret? And I realized wrong regret is regret with some kind of guilt or blame in it. Either I feel guilty because I did such and such, or I think you are guilty because you did such and such. That's wrong regret. But right regret is more like a realization. It has no judgment in it. It has no guilt or blame in it. It's just a realization that that action I took, or that thought that I let run in my mind over and over again, or those words that I said, were not in harmony with my true self. and as a result, some upset occurred. I worked myself into worry, or I said something mean and I hurt someone else, or I, you know, something like that. And it's a type of regret that allows me to see my own wrong mind, realize my own wrong mind is not wanted anymore and it serves no useful purpose, so that when presented with a similar circumstance and again, I can now transcend the energy of my own wrong mind and make a right-minded choice. That would be right regret. And that's something else that Eckhart Tolle talks about in this reading. He talks about learning from the past, but he says that the time that you have to exercise that learning is now. So it's different than dwelling on the past and staying in the past, right? So it's interesting how we learn there is no past and there is no future, and that is absolutely true. All there is now, and you'll never be able to find a time that you can call, oh, this is the future or this is the past. You can always only say this is now. Only that statement is true. And yet, there is a type of planning that is practical. It comes about through the spontaneous prompting of inner wisdom now, and it has nothing to do with psychological planning that an unhealed mind does. And there is a learning from our past patterns, as Barb is saying, so that we can transcend our wrong mind and come from our right mind now. So one thing that we always want to do whenever we're reading spiritual books, and right now more specifically I'm talking about, you know, the teachings of time, there is no past, there is no future. We want to pay attention within ourselves. Am I reading this with true discernment, or is there an error in the way I'm reading? And the truth is, there's a very, very easy way to tell. When you are reading something with the wrong mind, there will be a little feeling in you of, this is not right. You know, so like when you are saying, oh, you can never ever plan. You can't plan a trip to India. You're just going to show up at the airport and hope they have a plane ticket. And if you plan by buying your plane ticket in advance, that's a mistake. You'll feel that when you're thinking in that way, something inside of you is, that's not right. Something inside of you is telling you you're out of harmony with the right mind. There's a confusion in your thinking. And likewise, when you understand something correctly, when you understand, a healed mind does not plan, that's talking about the stories I make up about the future. That's talking about planning conversations that hasn't happened yet, and talking about planning my defense, and you're understanding it correctly, something inside of you feels open and free. Your own inner feeling, not emotional feeling, it's an intuitive feeling. It will let you know whether you have a correct understanding or an incorrect understanding of what you're reading. And if you notice you have an incorrect understanding, drop that understanding immediately and ask for the correct understanding. Now, with that, I'm going to go ahead and play a song. The name of this song is Time Forgotten. It's a violin instrumental. We'll be able to use that in order to contemplate this teaching. And also, while we're in this open meditation, contemplation time, if anyone does feel to make a donation to Awakening Together, which is truly helpful, you can do that. Lynn is going to post a link in the room for us. So why don't we enter into contemplation and ask within ourselves, what is time? You know, what is clarity regarding time? What is confusion regarding time? You could even ask questions like, what is right regret and wrong regret? What is a right way to plan and a wrong way to plan? And here is our song, Time Forgotten. Thank you. So we have about 10 minutes now for open sharing based on ideas of time, past, future, or even based on ideas of misunderstanding spiritual teaching because we read it with the ego and the ego distorts it. So anything along those lines would be fitting. If anyone would like to share, please raise your hand. All right, Deb, the mic is yours.
Hey guys, can you hear me? Okay. Yes, I wanted to share about how, you know, how Spirit is showing me the ways that I judge my brothers and the ways that I, you know, distort things and how I make something, you know, I make something real. I'm doing this still, you know, make something real within my mind, you know, and then ask Spirit for guidance, you know. I mean, I'm seeing how I have the cart before the horse. You know, the innocence is there first. And you know, not what I am perceiving, because perception, even perception of the real world, is still perception. And so, you know, to remember that, you know, like in this dream that we're having, that we believe in time, and we believe that these, we believe things are happening, and then we judge the things that we believe are happening as either good or bad things. And for me, the freedom is lying in, you know, just allowing Spirit. I mean, I'm even coming to a place of letting go, really letting go of the idea of letting go. Because when I say I'm, you know, looking at this with Spirit, you know, with and allowing my mind to be healed, and then I add the let go to it, it's like I'm making whatever I'm looking at real first. You see, and Jesus is teaching me that it's the in not making it real first where the freedom is. You know, because when I do that, it's not true forgiveness. It's making it real first. And then, you know, saying, well, you know, that's okay. You know, when really nothing is happening. You know, I mean, I've made my paranoia real. I did that. You know? Wallowing around in the paranoia as though there is something to defend against, when what has been proven to me through, you know, my particular study path, so to speak, is A Course in Miracles. And you know, time is only to be used to let go of time. I mean, and then even that, to let go of the letting go. I mean, and so, I don't know, there's just lots of wonderful growth and opening happening, because I think it's more like opening than it is letting go. It's more like you know, just being a, you know, being what we are, which is one in God, and just remembering that, and, you know, like not making something up that I think I have to let go of, you know? I mean, if I think there's something to let go of, I've made that up in my mind too. I don't know. I'm just so grateful for, you know, I have these friends that I study with every day. And it seems like every day, just, you know, like coming together with all of us having, you know, the same purpose, which, you know, is to see truth and to see the ways how that we are joined and there is nothing else, and how we are allowing our personalities to be used. That was one of the things that came up for me when there's sometimes, as it goes with us in this form, there will be discord. And, but then when I choose to allow the, oops, okay. Thank you, Regina. I'm sorry, I got going. Thank you for reminding me. Let me drop the mic now. Thank you. I'm getting on my soapbox.
Well, thank you, Deb, and what you were sharing was perfect, and I think it's a soapbox you should stay on. We'll all jump on that soapbox with you, but I do want to give others the chance to share. So, David, the mic is yours.
Sorry, I'm on my phone. Hope you can hear me now. I did have one short little paragraph that I wrote. I'm done with my violin. Playing that I really like. And what came to me, and I don't feel like it's finished, but what came to me is, I am in the wrong planning mind, but I imagine a story about the future, and I imagine ways to achieve this story or defenses to prevent this story. Sometimes I may imagine a conversation or confrontation, and then imagine from there what I will do, so on and so forth. This is not present moment planning or living. Present moment living may question the mind producing these stories.
Thank you, David. That was perfect. Dances, the mic is yours.
This came about asking Holy Spirit is, just came, it reminded me of the game we used to play as kids, Simon says, do this, and if Simon doesn't say, then, and you do it anyway, then you're out. And I was thinking of that in relation to remembering to ask Holy Spirit for the guidance. And if I don't, then I'm out of my mind. That's all. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a beautiful symbol. Thank you very much. So, all three of your sharings are gratefully appreciated. It is nice to have clarity, because when we don't have clarity, when we have the ego's confusion regarding spiritual teachings, the one who suffers from that is me, and possibly those around us as well. But definitely the one who suffers from that is me. You know, I then feel guilty if I'm looking for a plane ticket in advance, for example. And that, you know, you should know right away when you're feeling guilty that you're listening to the wrong mind, because when you're listening to the right mind, there never is guilt. So if I'm feeling guilty looking for a plane ticket, because I think I'm not supposed to plan, I'm clearly not listening to wisdom. But it's really nice to have clarity, because when you have clarity and you understand things like right planning and right regret, and you know how those tools are helpful, there's a sense of freedom in everything that you do. There's a sense of freedom even in looking at our own mistakes and realizing, you know, where we slipped into the wrong mind and how next time to not slip in that same way in order to transcend it. There's a sense of freedom whenever we're in with the right mind. And the sense of freedom comes from the non-judgment. Whenever we're in our wrong mind, there is judgment and there is a sense of imprisonment, a sense of guilt or a sense of anger or hatred or anxiety or stress. Those are the symptoms of the wrong mind. When we're in the wrong mind, in the right mind, there is just the sense of openness and freedom. Again, follow your feelings within, not your emotional feelings, but those feelings I just attempted to describe, and you will know immediately when you've slipped into a wrong interpretation, and you'll know immediately when you are doing what the right mind is prompting. You'll feel it. So now what I want to do is play the closing song. After the closing song, you are invited to stay for our social hour here in the room, here in the sanctuary, the Awakening Together Sanctuary. This song is called Innocence by, am I saying it right? Avril Lavigne. How do you say it? Avril. How do you say her last name?
Lavigne.
Avril Lavigne. This song is about being in that freedom all the time, being in that right mind all the time, that present moment all the time, and just absolutely loving what is. So this is also one of my very favorite songs, which I know a few of you already know that. So, here we go.
Waking up, I see that everything is okay. The first time in my life, and now it's so great. Slowing down, I look around, and I'm so amazed. I think about the little things that make life great. I wouldn't change a thing about it. This is the best feeling. This innocence is brilliant. I hope that it will stay. This moment is perfect. Please don't go away. I need you now. And I'll hold on to. Don't you let it pass you by. I found a place so safe, not a single tear. The first time in my life, and now it's so clear. Feel calm, I belong, I'm so happy here. It's so strong, and now I let myself be sincere. I wouldn't change a thing.
It's so-
only one thing about that song that's a bit of a problem for me. I never want to listen to it just once. It's like a Lay's potato chip. I want to listen to it over and over again once I start it. But I notice a few of you love the song as well. Kathy, your hand is up. Did you want to take the mic before I close? Or is your hand up for mistake? I didn't know. I'm going to let go of the mic, Kathy, and see if you want to take it. No. Okay, I see you did not want to take it. That's what I suspected, but I didn't know for sure. But Kathy, we will be in Costa Rica together, so we can dance to this in Costa Rica. And anyone else who would like to join us in Costa Rica, there's only 14 slots available, and we already have 3 people confirmed and about 7 others considering it. So if you want to find out more about Costa Rica, go to awakening-together.org and click on the events menu. And that concludes our gathering for today. Please hang out for the social hour if you can. All right. Goodbye, everyone.